like you to lift up your voice and exalt the name of Jesus. Let worship pour out from your heart. He alone is holy. He alone is worthy. He alone deserves our worship tonight. Give him the praise. Give him glory. Give him honor. Lord, we worship you tonight. I like your heart to tell him how much he is worthy of, how much he's worth. This is the first contact of the year, the first conference. It has been the faithfulness of God that has kept us this year. I like worship to pour from the depth of your spirit tonight. Lord, we give you praise. We worship you. Librahan talibra zele radabada bala. Shantum brala yala brahan talabra dabala bala ba. Radabada bada bada bala bala bada bada ba. Rekomalalante radabashkala yada. There is none like unto you, O God. No one can be like you. No one compares to you. You are the great one. We exalt you tonight, Jesus. We give you praise due to your name alone. We magnify you above every other name. Lebalalalabasante malayada. Jantum brazela lambres talibrada bada bada. Jadada bada 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 bada. Ranto balalande basantala. Yatada da bayada da bada bada. Redo bazale masante layada. Yantum brezula bahanta yadabadaba. Shadadabadabala yadadabada. Rekom brazila yadaba. Limala yadadaba sentala bradaba. Radadabadabala badabadabadaba. Lord, we exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you the honor. We give you thanks, mighty one. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Be great in this place tonight.
You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of our praise. In you our hearts we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. He's awesome. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. He's awesome. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of our praise. To you our hearts we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome, Lord. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of praise. To you our hearts we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome, Lord. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. worthy of our praise. To you our hearts we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God.
You are awesome, Lord.
You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of our praise. To you our hearts we raise. You are awesome in
be seated in God's presence tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd like you to make somebody seated beside you welcome. Amen. By way of charge, I'd like to share from the scriptures to create a prayer burden in your heart tonight. Hallelujah. You see, God has so blessed us in this place that very often, whenever we present ourselves before Him, we are privileged to have depths of truth, depths of reality communicated to us in this place. Every time we appear in God's presence, we are challenged. We are transformed. We depths of the Spirit of God are being poured on our hearts. But there's a prayer I'd like to have us pray tonight. Amen. If you are with your Bible, I'd like you to open to John chapter 15. The book of John chapter 15. We'll read verse 3. John chapter 15 and verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now you are clean through the words that I have spoken to you. Are we there yet? Alright, I'd like you to put something there and join me in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. From verse 19. Are we there? Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Hallelujah. We are here again another year before God, looking at 2013 in prophecy. Hallelujah. There are a lot of depths that God will be unveiling in this conference. As a matter of fact, there have been a lot of excitement that has been building up from the end of last year toward this conference because of what God is set to do. Hallelujah. But my fear tonight is whether we are ready to receive all that God will communicate in the course of this conference. You see, in the book of James, the Bible made us understand that the word of God is like a mirror that a man behold. And he said, when you become a doer of the things that you hear, you will be blessed in all your doings. Jesus said, the things that are spoken to you have a capacity to make you clean. It has a capacity to make you clean. Most times, we come for conferences and we are challenged. There are so many things communicated that are so high up there in the realm of the spirit. We get so excited. We most times get filled with goose pimples and everything is so great, so wonderful. And it's like we are ready to take on life. And at the end of 2 days, 3 days, 4 days of the conference, we go back to our everyday activities. And when we begin to get to encounter the realities of life, those excitement begin to dissipate gradually until we get to a point where it looks like nothing happened. Where all the prophecies and all the anointings and all the falling down, breaking some of our plastic chairs come to a point where it looks like, are you sure anything really happened? I want your heart to be challenged that this year will not be like any other year. This conference will not be like any other conference. That you have always come, they say it's contact again, you have to start saving money to travel again. And after all is said and done, you are back to the realities of life. And you cannot measure the things communicated. You can't translate it into practical life. You see, in the course of the fasting program from the beginning of this year, I threw a challenge to the house. I said, look, this year I'm resolved that every single prophecy released, I will watch it come to pass. Hallelujah. We can't continue to receive prophecies and then some of them even come with timeline. And the time pass. And it looks like they lie to us. We watch our lives. And things spoken over us. Time just pass. And we can't say, this was the day this prophecy was spoken. This was the day it was fulfilled. I don't know if these things bother you. If God is real, let us see. You see, Elijah came to a point. He said, if God be God, let him be God. And if it is Baal, then let's serve him. Enough of standing between two opinions. Hallelujah. 2013 in prophecy. We are here to hear another prophecy. The ones you have been having in your diaries, how many of them have been fulfilled? Let's see, where is the problem? Is it that God lied to us or is it we that are the problem? Let's get real here. Let's get real this year. If the man of God will press so hard into the realm of the spirit and download depth of truth, and he say this is spirit reality, then before the next contact comes, before another depth of truth is unveiled, let's enter into the previous one. We can't continue to be coming here and enjoying everything going on, and that's all there is to show for it. Hallelujah. All those phonies, those fakes, those, yes, me too, I'm going to remnant contact. Let it end last year. Let it end last year. Even if it's business, you are investing your money. I think you should expect some returns, isn't it? Many of us travel for contact every month. We are here again for another one, to receive another prophecy. Let's be honest with ourselves. The ones who have been gathering Have we been able to translate it into practical life? Jesus said, the words that I speak have the capacity to make you clean. James said, the word of God is like a mirror. That when you look at it and you do what the word says, you will be blessed. What that means is, you will become it. Let's look up another scripture before we pray very quickly. Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. I want to challenge somebody here tonight that this reality of God, we need to lay hold of it. We need to get into it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. He said the image we look at, we ought to be changed into the same. You see, there was a contact here last year, an apostle was teaching. And the teaching really got practical. And he began to talk about his friend. And he said, look, the realm of the spirit is real. I will pick something now and tell you what it is, and then you will see it happen. And we saw all of that playing out. I don't believe all of that is meant to entertain us. Hallelujah. And I also don't believe that is meant for people sitting in this place. Hallelujah. I believe that if it is meant for the ministers, then such teachings and such practical sessions should only be restricted to ministers' conference and ministers' sessions. The reality of God is meant for the least of the brethren. You see, the early disciples, I was watching a documentary some time ago about the persecutions of the early Christians, and something touched me that kept reoccurring over and over. You meet an ordinary everyday Christian on the street and you see strange manifestations of the Spirit of God, and all he will say if you ask him is, I am a Christian. Not that I am an apostle or I am a prophet. He will say, I am a Christian. They met one in the street level. I mean, these guys were peasants. They were ordinary, everyday people. If you read the account, when Peter and John, when they healed the man at the beautiful gate, you see, today we want to look at them from that high point. But the Bible said, when they interrogated them, they saw that these guys were just ignorant people. They were ignorant, illiterate. That there's nothing to write about. You can't, there's no prestige, no form of refinement. They were not enlightened people. They were ordinary, everyday people in the street, in the neighborhood. You could pick up anywhere. The thing that made them different was, the Bible said they took note of them and saw that they have been with Jesus. That was the only difference. Hallelujah. I want to challenge our hearts tonight. If this God be real, let's see him in the street. Let's see him in the pews. You know, back in the days, there was a reverend who was known to be the father of liberation theology, and he had this popular saying, where he will say, oh, my ignorant congregation, know ye not that the ignorance of the pew is the pleasure of the clergy? Hallelujah. Where the people are kept in perpetual ignorance. But in this place, the story is different. If it is true that we hear truth, that we make contact with the real God here, then before the next contact in the next month, we should come back with facts about the previous one. You see, last year, we came up with several prophecies at the beginning of the year with timelines that should happen in the first quarter, should happen in the second quarter. And then when we were at the middle of the year, brother came with fresh prophecies to me again. And he said, look, this is what they are picking now. I said, brother, slow down. The one we picked that's supposed to have manifested now, where is it? We want to see that one. Don't bring another fresh one. Let's see that one first. Let's stop. It's not a religion. It's life. It is real. Hallelujah. Paul told Timothy, he said, make warfare with the prophecies that have been released over your life by the laying of the hands of the presbytery. Looking at 2013 in prophecy, it is time to make them real. If there are conditions attached to it, let's meet these conditions and watch it come to pass. Let's know if a prophecy doesn't come to pass. Let's be able to tell why. Hallelujah. If a prophecy doesn't come to pass, let's be able to tell why. Enough of going through the motion. Enough of going through the motion. Enough of coming to get entertained. I believe even God himself is tired. I want you to rebel this evening. If God say anything, in Isaiah he said, as I have said, so shall it stand. As I have spoken, so shall it come to pass. You see, there was a season of my life some years back, and I was pressing into God looking for direction, and I got a clear instruction from God about something to do, and I stepped out into it, and I watched. I did all that I believe were demands I needed to measure up to, and after like 9 months, the word I received from God didn't come to pass, and I went back. I said, no, not so. God, why? What is happening? Is it that I didn't hear very well? Is it that I read my own meaning into the prophecy? Is it that I didn't measure up to it? Or is it that it is the devil? I want to know where the problem is so that we will settle it. Let God be God and every other man be a liar. See, let's get real. If everything is just talk, let's drop this thing. I was sharing with a brother last night. We have an adage in my dialect that said, there's a species of yam that says it can't miss out on both ends. If this thing is not working, let's not deceive ourselves. Let's not deceive ourselves. There are better options we can also try out. But if we have given up every other option and we say it is this one, then it should work. It should work. If this God is real, let's touch him. People that serve Satan make contact with Satan. You see, Pastor Tony was sharing the course of the fasting last week, and he said he doesn't know about you, but in his own family, before he came to meet the Lord, he has made interaction. Their family have made interaction with darkness, and they have results to show. Hallelujah. You see, Apostle was teaching some time ago, and he said in his village, when someone fractures a bone, they get a chicken and fracture the chicken's bone, and they treat the chicken. As they are stretching the chicken's leg, the person's leg is being treated. These are realities. If those are realities that exist in the negative supernatural, let's stop speaking. If the problem is English, let's stop speaking English. Let's stop speaking English. This God must be real this year. Hallelujah. Let's stop speaking. speaking English. Let's stop speaking English. Let's start speaking our dialect. I like us to stand. Enough of English. If this God is real, we are looking at 2013 in prophecy. We are looking at it in prophecy. This God must be real. It has to be real. Because for some of us, we don't have options anymore. So it has to be real. We have blasted the bridge behind us. We can't go back. It has to be real. I'd like you to begin to talk to God. The apostles say we can't but speak of the things. They touch something. Paul looked at that creeper and said, I know what I saw. And I am not disobedient to that thing I saw. I don't know, perhaps you have not given up anything serious. Some of us have given up our life for this. Some of us gave up our life for this. Enough of English. This God must be real this year. The scripture where we read said, it is the image we behold in the glass. It is the same glory of image we are meant to be transformed into. Next contact cannot come until we have entered into the reality of this one. Canto brasanta la brada baraba. Shale ahanta le redebas la brada baraba. Redede bada 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 bada. Yanta la bas pele brada la brada bada 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 bada. Shada bada 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 bada. Rada da 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 bada 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 bada. Redede da bada 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 bada. Yada da yantama la yada yada ba, rada da bada 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 bada, jada 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 le bada, ilala bale la bresula yaba.
I will stand for God in my land, fight the enemy. On faith battleground, lift the banner of Christ high, bringing victory to my King. I will stand for God in my land. I will stand for God in my land. I will stand for God in my land. Fight the enemy of faith, battleground. Leave the banner of Christ high. Bringing victory to my King, I will stand for God in my land. I will stand for God in my land. I will stand. I will stand for God in my land. I will stand. The enemy has seen the good ground. Leave the battle.
A lot of people come to the Lord without a stand. No preconceived perspective of their willingness to conform to and to fulfill the demands of God. It's needful for everyone to have a personal position with respect to God this year. Is he a stranger to you? Is Jesus a money doubler? Is he a God that gives false hope? If God decides not to bless you anymore, will you still stand? This is the day of God, because the time of men are over. And in order for us to partner with God, to walk with God, to function with God, I don't know about you, but when we crossed over into this new year, the presence of God on my life doesn't go and come anymore. It stays. Now when I saw that, I knew God does not come for fun, you know. So I had to ask why it is so. You know, in the school of spiritual intelligence, when you stumble into a realm, an arena, that is not an arena that you are familiar with, a wise man will go back to God and say, why? You were surviving on 10,000 naira by an act of God, terrible in righteousness. You were put somewhere and you began another financial journey, 60,000 naira. And the consumer generation will just continue life without stopping to consult with his stronghold. Even people in the village that serve idols, when things happen, they consult. Can you pray today and say, God, I refuse to be part of the consumer generation. I refuse to be part of it. People that want to squander what God has to offer, but they do not feel any sense of responsibility to his kingdom. It's a consumer generation. Children that are not of pure blood. The Bible says that Moses was a proper child. He was a proper child. Behold, the days of men are over. We approach a treacherous time. A season when the strength of the strongest will fail. The Bible says that them that stumbled were gifted with strength. I speak of a time where your sustenance is not a function of your strength. The day of men are over. We welcome the day of God. When he that sits and speaks from Zion is king, and all the little hills must bow, because the mountain of the house of God is exalted. The day of men is over. The season that God has given to the consumer generation to repent is past and gone. Now the voice that speaks from Zion will renovate the land. It is wise for you to be on God's side. Because in the day of God, he doesn't take sides with people. He takes sides with his will. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. We worship. Strengthen us, O God,
strengthen us, O God, that we might be men of covenant, people that we can depend upon in this strategic season and time. Ancient of Days, we call upon you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.
Remember, the day of men is over. There were many great guys that showed up before Jesus came upon the scene. In the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5, an inventory of mighty men that rose in the land was taken. There was a guy like that, his name was Shadma. That looks like the name of a warrior. Shadma. You know, even the name Jesus is not as dramatic as what? Shadma. Maybe because of the masculinity of his name, he gathered unto himself a great troop. But when he was arrested and slain, his mortality spoke. There was nothing left to sustain his followers. The name lost its integrity. It was not a wise reason to die for. And his disciples dispersed. But Jesus became stronger after he died. That's why Gamaliel had to cancel. We don't understand these things from the law, from the prophets. But I'm of the opinion. You don't need to understand to know that there's something beyond man playing out. The day of men is over. There was a little village that swallowed up all the princes of Israel. The name of the place was called Kadesh Barnea. That was where the head of Moses rode. The head of Aaron rode. The head of Miriam rode. Why? Because that place was not a place of men. It was a place under the government of God. And the integrity and wisdom of that God decides who lives or dies. In Kadesh Barnea, your fake tongues that you use as a tool to cover iniquity will not sustain you, because the days of men are over. I will stand for God in that land. Lift the banner of Christ high,
bringing victory to my King.
Friends, we approach the borders of Kadesh Barnea. There be many that are strong in our land that will be cut off. The Bible says they that stumble were gifted with strength. The days of men are over. Let everyone that serves the Lord in truth and in spirit rejoice. For the Lord indeed is determined to bless Israel. All the little hills, the cedars of Lebanon shall be humbled. The oaks of Bashan shall be cut off. Every mountain shall be leveled. Every valley shall be exalted. In the day in which we speak, only one voice will resound. For the Bible says that the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Support our brother. Take that song as an oath of office. I will stand for God in this land. I will fight the enemy on battleground.
God speak plainly. In this day, He will no longer be absent or invincible. He will not send an angel to represent Him. There will be no delegate. He will come Himself. He shall be exalted, and every heel will be humbled before Him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name.
If you can, you may take your seat. I'm sorry for the heat. You can ignore that for a while. The Bible is full of promises. But of all the promises captured in Scripture, the one that strikes a chord with my spirit in the season that we have come into is a promise, the manifestation of the ultimate generation. Now, before this generation will come to pass, not ultimate generation in a prototype fashion in the Old Testament, is the day that Samuel pioneered. You see, before that day came, the tokens of God were stolen. The heritage of God was being lost in the land of the people of God. It was easier to be afraid than to be in faith. The very things that formed the basis of their unity and nationhood were threatened. But in the very crucible where the sovereignty of God was at work, there was problem with childbearing. The womb that God wanted to use was closed. And it was as if delay had set in. So much so that the spirit of them that hoped at a point was put in despair because of the impossibilities that surrounded that which God wanted to do. His memory was being blotted out. What was known was the military might of the nation of Philistine. The Philistines, according to Bible history, were the ones that discovered iron. Many times when Israel came face to face against them in battle, and they saw how pitted they were, most times Israel turned back. When you hear of the story of Shammah, the son of Agi, that was leading a troop to battle, and then when they saw the enemy, Israel turned back. It was because of they had shin guard for. See, you don't understand. They were well armed. And Shammah that day stood his ground and defended the land. And the Bible reveals that the Lord wrought a great victory that day. The victory was so much that Shammah's hand became withered and he cleaved to the sword. They will need bitter leaf with hot water to separate his hand from the sword. It was not his hand that held it. It was the day of God. There are many things you are used to today that is no longer relevant. We all will have to go to a school of the spirit again, afresh. There was delay with childbearing. The devil had advanced in his agenda, and he came to a point where there was no more hope. Then a barren woman, took an oath. And suddenly, the powers of heaven began to set into the circumstance. Meanwhile, the adversary had advanced. Meanwhile, the nation was in jeopardy.
and a barren woman's womb was opened in that season. Now, who was responsible for Anna's barrenness? It was God. There are several people that God has made barren. You have been faithful, working with God consistently. But it's as if you have been abandoned. You prayed, you prophesied. Nothing changed in the environment. In the day of God, the wombs that He closed, He opens them. And when He opens those wombs, He performs much more than the devil can ever imagine to perform in a short period of time. Because it's not a function of man, it is the day of God. When Anna's understanding was enlightened, the only way she could receive ventilation was to turn her face towards the Lord in prayer. As we glean the articles of her prayer, we find out the message that came from her spirit. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And Anna prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation." Suddenly, her prayer shifted from a prayer of exaltation. She was now vocalizing the revelations of God that she had captured. Sorry, at what time did she capture these revelations? During the time of her barrenness. See, there was a build-up during the time of that barrenness that was going on. And then when the time of her visitation came, her understanding became fruitful. So this is an experiential revelation that she is now communicating. I know that in your own personal prayer time, most often, there are no personal revelations that you have received from God through process that you release back to God. That's why sometimes your prayers are not as potent as weapons of mass destruction. Because Anna's prayer was also an opportunity, a platform for her to extol God by the revelations that she has contacted through process. That time, you cannot receive it by inspiration. An evangelist can come to town and say, "Your life will be restored." Then he runs out of town. And he doesn't tell the people that restoration is not an instantaneous thing. It's what it is. He doesn't tell them. The revelation I'm talking about is a revelation that has been cooked through process. You see, when you are going through process, what happens is that your understanding is unfruitful. You don't know the science that is at work. You don't even know its application. How do I apply this mystery? You are kept in that state so that your heart can be tested. Because God will not build with a stone that He has not tried. He will not build with you if He has not tried. If He has never shut the door on you to see your tendencies and the multiple tendencies of your heart, so that He can have occasion to reveal your heart to you, He can't use you very much, because you'll be exposed in the process. Because there'll be a hole in your armor. I've never seen, it's not part of the contemporary prayer. for you to see somebody releasing words that carry the gravity of the revelation that he or she has captured through a process. Actually, those utterances are like incense. The material that is used to make frank, you see, is a process. You don't incense. In order for you to get couple, you know, based on my training, I know a little in this world. You know that mosquito coil? Something that you can burn that will change the perfume of the place. It takes time to produce anything that can give a scent to the environment. This kind of prayer that a man utters his knowledge of God, the revelation of God he had captured through process, is as potent as incense. And when you see scripture say that let the lifting up of our hands be as the evening sacrifice, actually the lifting up of the hands is yada in Hebrew, worshiping God with the lifting of his hands. There are seven postures that can be sustained in the art of worship to God as captured in the book of Psalms. One of them is yada, lifting what? Holy hands. Now someone lift your hands, two of your hands. I didn't say one. How do you look like? That posture is the posture of a man in surrender. Please put your hand down. Do you know that it will take a process for a real human being to surrender to God? I'm just coming from Zaria now. I went for Mama's birthday. She's 79 years old now. And she told me about when, was it in Philadelphia or Tulsa? She attended a Messianic Jewish service. That's long English, Abi. It's just Jews that are born again. Their own style of worship is different from our own. Now, she went to the service as thinking it was a service she has seen and known. Then she joined in. And then the guys lifted up their hands and were singing for 2 hours. We are going to try it for 15 minutes if you will survive. For how many hours? 2 hours. Hands never descended. That time there were people in the worship service that were older. Yada. It's not about the lifting of the hands. You see, if the heart has surrendered, the hands will be lifted involuntarily. And if the act of surrender is still in process, there will be power to hold it up. It was yada that Moses was doing on the mountain top. When Joshua was fighting downstairs, for yada. See the implication of that. So what you'll be doing with your lips are utterances of surrender or revelations you have captured through a process that required surrender. It is those utterances that are sent to heaven with the potency of what? An Esther. Is the potency of a fragrance. With the potency of what? The evening sacrifice. So what she was offering here was incense. How long were their hands up? Have you surrendered? Have you prayed, talking to God and surrendering, and it lasted for 2 hours? That's why when Gabriel came to Zechariah, there were several insights about the God of Israel. Gabriel knew that Zechariah did not know. He brought a word to him and the guy doubted. And he requested a sign because he said, wherewith shall I know this? What shall be? What is the sign that these things are authentic? And Gabriel came and he began to give him his credentials. That was no longer part of the errand. I am Gabriel that standeth before the presence of the Lord. The dumbness that resulted was not part of the errand. It was because of what? I am Gabriel. I'm the one that I stand. He had stature in the realm of God. His identity was definite. I am Gabriel. There's some depth in Hebrew worship that we have not yet captured. Are you still with me? Now, this woman, I just want you to examine if you pray like this. She's not preaching, no. What is she doing? Huh? No, I will not allow you to be weak now. She's doing what? Is this how you pray? There is none holy as the Lord. Is that how you pray? For there is none besides thee. Neither is there any rock. Why the choice of the word rock? Neither is there any rock like our God. Why rock? The Bible says, "They that put their trust in the Lord, they shall be like Mount Zion. That what? Shall not be moved." That means God is immovable. He doesn't change. Right? And people that trust in Him will be like Him. Will be like Him in the fact that He's immovable. If God has furnished a conviction in your spirit, you are going to exhibit the characteristics of the rock that He is. Circumstances may change. Seasons may change. But the man that has an impute furnished on his spirit will still be standing. Alright? Number one. He said, "There shall be like Mount Zion that shall not be moved, but that liveth and abideth forever." That aspect goes beyond time. What he's saying is that these guys will partake of what God is, even His immortality. These are the days of God. When she said there is no rock like our God, she had sinned because barrenness had no cure in her village. But she focused and got into a pact with God. And that would look permanent, shifted. Then she knew something about God that she only knew in Bible study. She had experienced it live. And she knew that kingdoms will fall. Kings will fall. Seasons will change. Nations will fall. There is a rock that is not like any other rock. He is in His own class, separated unto His own name. It is that description of God as being different from any other thing that is called holiness. Holiness means different, separate, removed, in its own different category. You cannot find anything to compare with, because your comparison will lack the stature to describe this wonder. There is no rock like our God. And this kind of revelation did not come in a church service, it came through process. That was the concoction, the kind of incense that she was releasing. Her prayers were full of God and empty of self, because she had seen the foretaste of a day where God is king, a day where God is the only one standing. That's why Isaiah said, "The cedars of Lebanon, the proud heights shall be reduced. The oaks of Bashan, the mighty wheat will be cut off. The mountains behind the enclave will be subdued, and the valleys will be elevated. But in this day of this renovation, when the entire topography is being renovated, the reason for the renovation is that a king is going to march in the borders of her city. So every stone must be gathered out. Every undulating plain must be instructed. Because only one must be seen in the procession. And only one's voice must be heard. The book of Revelation is a book that speaks about a personality that governs with a voice. He doesn't need to stand, because every realm is renovated by his decree. Once has the Lord spoken, twice have I heard. That is not an echo. You know, an echo comes when you go into the garage. The window is small. So, I don't know how, it's not an acoustic place. And you shout and it echoes back. That's not what it means. He said, when God utters his voice, watchers in the spirit proclaim it into that realm, and prophets in the natural proclaim it here. So that the same voice renovates the heavens and renovates the earth. That's what we call the shake-up strategy, as captured in the book of the prophets. He was talking about the day of God. In that day, everything that doesn't have its foundation in God will be shifted and shaken. That's why wisdom demands that you stand your ground even though the seasons are contrary. Once you know that your umbilical cord is connected to the ancient, the forever true, a day will come when he will speak. The devil knew that God created everything by the word of his power. Even though the fall had come, it was as though the plan of God was thwarted. But he knew that God could speak again. If he speaks again, it creates a set of possibilities, a different set of possibilities, a different set of potentials. It's the realm of a voice. And in the day in which we live, we will see the potency of that voice much more. The days of men are over. They are over. They are over. A throne from whence a voice utters its words. And the book of Hebrews says, be careful. Be careful that you do not resist him that speaketh. No one really gets to escape if he has spoken. If he decides not to speak, the devil's activity can continue. But you see, the devil was not even in charge when he was doing his worst, because the king is reserved with the ability to speak again. The Bible reveals, you know, Balaam was a strange kind of prophet. He was a prophet that could pick frequencies from God's transmission, and also pick frequencies through enchantments, divinations, sorceries, and necromancies. He was like a transistor radio. Now, how many of you have a transistor radio? You know, in this day of satellite and my TV and strong, compliance with the old transistor radio, the two batteried radio, that's the one I'm talking about, that you can switch and you find you catch short wave. The wave is short, but it's accessible. You can find medium wave. Medium. You can find the frequency modulation, the FM. You see, by striking the knob, you enter into various frequencies. So this guy understood frequencies in the spirit. Now, he was a dual purpose prophet. He could serve in sorcery, and he will be recognized. He can receive award there. He can also number among the prophets of the Lord, and he will bring confirmations to inspiration. But a day came in his business when he was standing upon the mountaintop. The Bible revealed that he used enchantments and used enchantments and used enchantments, and enchantments did not work that day. So he knew that it was a different day, and he was scouting in the spirit realm to find out what had happened, that enchantments are not speaking. I know if you say that the reason why people seek the devil is because he answers faster than God, I agree. But you know why he answers? God does not need to answer quick.
He's a king.
You can't make him talk. It's true, you have been praying. You have been praying. I acknowledge that. But he's what? He will speak when he wants to. In fact, when Elihu said that God is greater than man, one of the reasons he gave is that when human beings misunderstand him and judge him, he doesn't feel a sense of insecurity such as to want to respond to them. He allows them in their folly. The second thing Elihu said, and I hope you know that revelation is experiential too. God is greater than man because he can give you a vision and decide to withhold the interpretation. That's the day you find out that your mind is not as strong as you thought it was. Enchantments did not speak. And the guy began to check in the spiritual. I'm quoting from Numbers 24. Then he now found out why the altars of darkness were incapacitated. He said, when Balaam saw that God was determined to bless Israel, he sought no longer after enchantments as other times. In the day of God, Akombo, fails. Idols fail. Just in case you have a mantra in your house that you have been spitting on in the morning, I counsel you. We have come to a treacherous time. Kadesh Barnea. People that will fall here are not the lean and the hungry. People that will fall here were once gifted with strength. I hope you know that Saul and Jonathan did not die of weakness. They had the anointing to the advantage. And in training, they had gained mastery of the sword such that the metaphor that most describes their skill was the lion and the eagle. Hallelujah. They were warriors of warriors. And they had the backing of the anointing. That means the things they did in battle, their capacity to wield the sword was much more than training. Hallelujah. But in the day of God, the people that fell were mighty, so that God can go ahead to establish his kingdom. He saw that it was a day where God was determined to bless his people. And that's why enchantments could not work. Divinations could not prosper. And then it was that time, after he has exhausted the other alternatives, that he now decided to turn his face to the east, knowing fully well that Jehovah will only come when he wants to come. Now he was not ready to wait for him. First secret of the year: wait for him. Learn how to wait. You are too fast. You take off like a tornado. You have entered three relationships since January 1st. Because your mother is putting pressure on you to bring somebody home. You see, the average man will not wait. Because waiting is not intelligent. But a day comes when you have no choice. When the only job description left, because God is determined to bless Israel, the only job description left is to do what? Even if you use enchantment, it won't work. You move in the flesh, it shall profit nothing. Then you will have to submit to the pattern in God's order. The first thing that will become a thing of essence is to wait. I went somewhere in the Middle East, and because my brother-in-law that sponsored the trip knew I did not know anywhere, he contracted a tour guide that was to be paid $200 to come pick me from the airport and take me to my hotel. But in Lagos, before we traveled, the China Southern Airlines was supposed to go by 11 a.m. We were in the waiting hall till 5 p.m. It was 5 p.m. that China Southern landed. The guy had waited on the other side. Meanwhile, on that end, there is an accelerated 3-hour time. So you can calculate the multiplier effect. We now boarded. I landed there 2 a.m. in the morning. I did not see my tour guide. What's the next thing to do? Wait. You are not with me. Please help me tell your neighbor, wait. I know how you took off like a tornado. You say, oh, Tupo is a village. Eh? Don't cross the toll gate. In the day of God, it's princes that die. Learn how to what? Should I prophesy to you? This year, for a lot of people, the heavens will be brass. And the ground will be iron. Because there's no spirit on the altar. People will be praying, no? But it will be bouncing. You will see Christians so frustrated. But in order for spirit to come upon your altar, you learn how to wait. There's a technology that plays out during waiting. God begins to point out how not aligned you are with his protocol. He gives the opportunity to work upon your heart. Because a lot of people have not backslidden, but they are backslidden in their heart. Some others have not backslidden, but they regard iniquity in the heart. You know, to regard it is not to do it, though. You just regard it. You pamper it. You have napkin for it. You protect it. That thought that is not consistent with the culture of the kingdom of heaven. It came through your mind and you did not fight it. You did not cast it down. He begins to deal with those issues. He will only come because he wants to come. You must know that. Hallelujah. Because it is the day of God. His protocols must be learned again. God spoke to me. I don't like captions. Like, let's put a caption. No. But he spoke to me about what we should prepare for. The emphasis we should prepare for is restoring the divine order. That's what he told. Because it's the day of God. We don't understand the protocol in the courts of heaven anymore. Waiting upon the Lord is a manner of living that the children of God do not know any longer. A terrible day came and missed us. It was a day of keys and buttons. and people were empowered with diverse skills, such that the way of waiting and the divine protocol became obsolete. It produced a consumer generation, a bastard people. That generation has actually renovated our reality as a nation. Because the society is always a reflection of the church. It's a mirror image. If you fix the church, society will be fixed. And that's why the Bible reveals that judgment will have to begin from where? From the house of God. You know, that judgment is not the type, it's not conducted by Nigerian judiciary, where men still have a say in it. But in the day of God, even a man like Moses will have to fear. Kadesh Barnea. There, that storm, they were gifted with strength. That's why God always attaches a prophet to a king. Because the problem of every king will be that he has the tendency of becoming too strong. Have you become too strong? When anybody wants to rebuke your anger, fight. Because it's still your day. But the time comes when the journey leads us to the borders of Kadesh. Even Miriam, the prophetess, has a lot to answer for. Because of the strange wind that is coming to blow upon the face of the earth. The Lord, it was in September, he came to me and he spoke three times, restoring the divine order. That the protocols of heaven, the people of God must imbibe it afresh. How to take root in God and how to navigate on the path of spiritual progress. The spirit realm must become real so that we are a representation of a realm that is hidden in the spirit. When we are consistently tuned to that frequency, the lines begin to fall before us. We see the purpose of God playing out and we march along as we participate and partner with God. When he shows up, doesn't take sides with people, takes sides with his way. Remember that even Moses can fall. In the day he puts on his garment at Jehovah Sabaoth, the man of war, the first treachery he found was in Moses' household, and he came for the slaughter. It is the day of God. People died last year, they will die this time too. Maybe for a different reason. People will fail because they have not understood the protocol. It's a day to wait. Where waiting is an art and also a skill and also a strategy. When he saw that God was determined to bless Israel, he refused to seek after enchantments, divinations. That means there is a call for erectness. Why wash your garments today and tomorrow? Because in the third day, I cannot vouch for what will happen. I can give you insight into basic sanitation exercise. Wash your garments, your clothes. But you also have to look inward to find out what other garments need cleansing. Because he will not speak with the voice of man in the morrow. He will speak with thunder, with flame, fire, and with lightning. It was a day of God. They were traveling for so long, now it was time for them to be introduced to the God that sent for them. What was happening that day was that they were being introduced to the kingdom. It was a day of thunder, of lightning, of blackness, of darkness, and of fire. I can tell you, many more there be that shall fall from the terror than from the sword. Can we pray right now? Just in case you have, the Holy Spirit is knocking on your heart and say, see, you veered off 5 years ago. You can make a recovery of 5 years right now. Because the name of the place we are headed is Kadesh Barnea. It's not a human governor that is king there. Is a God that hides in darkness, whose voice is the voice of thunder. May the fear of God's awesome holiness invade your heart and remain as a blessing from the Lord. I would like us to cry. Cry to Him. Cry to Him.
And I wait on you, oh mighty God, in the beauty of your holy name. I will worship you, oh mighty God, in the beauty of your.
It is difficult to stand in the beauty of His holiness. Because in the beauty of His holiness, He burns and purges at the same time. Make out of us Puritans, men that function with godly fear. Ivasabella,
and I will wait,
Almighty God,
Almighty God, in the beauty of your holiness.
I will worship you.
I will worship you, Almighty God, in the beauty of your holiness.
There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none besides thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more exceeding proudly. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth. Why? It's the day of God. See, before this time, men boasted and they went away. But there is a day where if a king should say, is this not Babylon that I have built? You know, there was a day when Herod stood and gave a speech. And the people said, this is not the voice of man. This is the voice of a God. See, he didn't have counselors. He would have done that in another season. It would have been good. But he did that in the day of God. He said, let not arrogance be found in your mouth. For our God is a God of knowledge. And by him actions.
Away.
I need to explain that. Our God is a God of knowledge. And by him, actions are waiting. Sorry, we don't have time. Verse 4 is my emphasis before I sit down. The bows of the mighty men are broken. And they that stumbled are gifted with strength. In the day of the Lord, the oaks of Bashan, men that have cumbered the ground, so much so that nobody can lift up his hand nor his voice. He said, them that stumbled were gifted with strength. People that have the capacity to protect themselves are the ones that are going to be cut off. As a sign that it is not the day of men, but what? The day of God. We approach Kadesh. The place where Joshua alone and Caleb from that generation will set foot and come back alive. Because they had that blood and spirit. I welcome you to a new season in God. The things we'll be teaching this year are the protocols of the realm of the spirit and the government of God in the earth, so that every one of us can hide in alignment with our God. It is only those people that have found that place of alignment that will be blessed. All of this is happening because God is determined to bless Israel. The windows of blessings. But mind you, the blessings are a test. Whether we will administer them under the government of God. Days of men.
prayer come before thee as incense. And the lifting up of our hands at the evening sacrifice. The way of God is in the whirlwind. Work is perfect, purified 7 times in the furnace of fire. Perfect, purified 7 times in the furnace of fire. Everything that is not aligned with his eye. I will instruct thee and I will teach thee in the way that thou shouldest go. And I will guide thee with my eye. Is in the hurricane. The only place of calm in a hurricane is in the eye of the storm. It's in the middle, the eye, the very center of the hurricane is the only place of calm. When God comes, I will instruct thee and I will teach thee in the way that thou shouldest go, and I will guide thee with mine eye. There will be storm when God comes, but calm in the midst of his eye. I will guide you with my eye. I will guide you with my eye. I will instruct thee and I will teach thee in the way that thou shouldest go. And I will guide thee with mine eye. The way of God is in the eye of the hurricane. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shouldest go. And I will guide thee with mine eye. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shouldest go. and I will guide thee with my eye. The perspective of God's eye view, God's perspective is the only place of calm from the storm. God calms in the hurricane, but there is calm in the eye. There is calm in the eye. There is peace in the storm. Because of the calm in the eye of the hurricane. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou know not whence it cometh, nor whither it goes. So is the man that is born of the Spirit. The wind blows, but the calm is in the eye. The way of God is in the wind, in the hurricane. His instruction is in the eye of the storm. His instruction is in the core, the eye. I will instruct thee and I will teach thee in the way that thou shouldest go, and I will guide thee with mine eye. The way of God is in the hurricane. My way is in the whirlwind. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou know not whence it cometh, nor whither it goes. But there is calm in the eye. And so is the man that is born of the Spirit. There is storm in there is strength in the storm of the Spirit. There is torrent in the hurricane, the storm of the hurricane. But the control is in the eye. The key is in the eye. The power is in the eye. Get into the eye. For I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shouldest go. And I will guide thee with mine eye. Hallelujah. Yeshua Mashiach Adonai. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's have our seats. We have imagined that the government of God is like that of men, but it's not. The government of God has its own order. It has its own ranking. Has its own protocol. Has its own process. What we have come to preach is a kingdom and a government that is not of this world. I did not come with words. We don't come with words. We bring a kingdom. That kingdom doesn't coexist. It brings into alignment or it shatters. Actually, it's both. It both brings into alignment and shatters. Everybody is a victim or a product of the shatterings of God. Why? Because we bring a kingdom that will not coexist. Everything that we have lived upon all our lives, from beginning to end, was ordered by kingdoms in this world.
But when the heavenly kingdom comes, he begins to rearrange, he begins to shatter, and he begins to bring into alignment. We are urged to repent because the kingdom is at hand. We are urged to change. Because the times of ignorance, God winks at. But when the witness and the sound of the kingdom is complete, he emerges. And when he emerges, he begins to shake and to shatter. Because everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Not even only on earth, but even in the heavenlies. When Christ died, he purified things both on earth and even in heavenly places. He went to the heavenly altar to purify with blood, meaning there was even defilement in heavenly places. Certain courts of the kingdom were defiled by means of the fall. And certain thrones that were once occupied by created princes of light who turned and defected were now defiled. And so in reconciliation of things, Christ by his blood, his death and his resurrection, redeemed, restored and realigned things, not just on earth, but in heavenly places. Things not just mortal, but immortal. Places, portions, once glorious, purified by the light of God, but defiled by the dark ones who fell, had to be restored so that those gates can be opened once again. And so in him who died and resurrected, all things, not just in the earth, but all things in heaven and on earth are made into one. And they are still being made into one. There are things in heavenly places that are represented in the earth. But they don't appear. They don't come on the street. They don't walk through the door. They come through our spirit man. They come through our hearts, through our lives. Heavenly things don't appear in mortal flesh. They come through the human spirit. The realm of flesh is the realm of man. Anything that is not man does not have permission to enter the earthly realm, except through the flesh of man. And so those things, those thrones, those courts, those places have entrance through the flesh of men, whether saint or sinner, whether holy or defiled. And so when he is cleansing the heavenlies, guess where the cleansing manifests? It is in our spirits and in our hearts. Because there is nothing going on in the cosmos that does not have a reflection in our spirits and in our souls. Because the immortal heavenly realms, the courts of heaven, the realms of heaven do not come in flesh. But they come to earth. They have expression in the earth, but they cannot pass through the gates of flesh without man. So when Christ begins to redeem and replenish and restore, when he begins to realign things even in heavenly places, guess where that restoration, that breaking, that realignment manifests in the realms of the earth? It is through our hearts. It is through our spirits, because we are the gates of the flesh. There are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Spirit, and the Word. There are three that bear witness in the earth. The witness of heaven is always mirrored and completed, concluded in the earth. Thy word, O God, is forever settled in heaven, but it is not yet settled in the earth. Have you noticed? That much is obvious. Because the witness of heaven has to be concluded and finished in the earth before it is manifest, before it can be used as measures among men for judgment. Before full restoration, aligning heaven with the earth, the way it was created, can be manifested, the witness of God must be completed in the earth.
Thank you, Lord.
And so when he sounds and he declares and he trumpets and he reveals and he breaks in the heavenlies, guess where the witness manifests? It manifests in the spirit, in the water, and the blood. Those are the trees that bear witness in the earth. The spirit, the water, and the blood is the realm of God released among men. The realm of blood is exclusively for man. And so whatever is declared and shaken, even in the heavenlies, has its manifestations in the earth. But it does not appear. It comes through the gates of our spirits and our souls, the way they have reflected what part of heaven they captured. And so when he comes and he begins to restore, a lot of changes begin to take place. We have not brought a mortal kingdom. We have brought an immortal kingdom. And when that kingdom begins to express itself, it begins to upturn foundations. It is the stone that is cut without hands that shatters the feet of the succession of world kingdoms and world powers upon which all of our lives have been built. And then it upturns it and erects a new foundation that fills the earth. And so there is a shattering in the heavenlies. But that shattering manifests all around us. There is a shaking, not just of things on the earth, but of things in the heavens, so that he might fill this house with glory. But in the process of filling the house and shaking the heavens and shaking the earth, so many things that our souls capture are also shaken. Because we have come to bring a kingdom. We've come to bring a power that this world has not known. Listen to me, there is a newness being born. A newness of the kingdom being born. A man cannot enter except a man is born again. He cannot see. The kingdom always comes with birthings. The kingdom always comes with bursts of new life. The scene of the kingdom, which is the revelation of the kingdom, always comes with bursts of life. There is always something kicking in the womb. There is always something stirring that you don't have a name for, except that it is full of life. God is the God of creation. And when his life flowed from the beginning, it created. Somehow, we think the same thing is not happening now. Somehow, we think he is not creating even now. When we talk about the prophetic, we speak about the speakings of God. But in the beginning, when he spoke, it gave new life. It created. What was not suddenly was. He raises the dead and collects those things that be not as though they were. There is a burst of new life. There is a birthing. There is a burst of life. But it is coming with travail. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy will come in the morning. That is the sound of new birth. It is the sound of new life. Because this kingdom is ruled by the God of creation. It is a creating kingdom. It is a creative kingdom. It does not run routine. It gives birth. For decades now, we've struggled with the spirit of religion and tried to define it and tried to measure it and tried to kill it. You can't defeat it like that. It can only be swallowed up by the spirit of life. Because when the veil is removed, you see the glory and transformation takes place. Seen into the kingdom is by birthing new life. Except a man is born again, he cannot see. And so the seeing, the revealing, is by the burst of life. It is by new life sounding, moving, kicking, and throwing within you. When Gabriel came to Ananias, or Zachariah, the father of John, he came to announce new life. The kingdom is coming because something is going to be kicking in the womb. Something is going to be moving. Something that is new. Something that is alive. Say not that you have seen these things before, that you know them. Because behold, I create them now. That's what God said to Isaiah. So that you won't say I knew them before. No, they were not there before. I am speaking them into being now. And God asked, King Ahaz asked me for a sign. And King Ahaz said, I will not tempt the Lord. I will not tempt the Lord my God. When Samaria was confederate with Syria to attack Judah, and the heart of King Ahaz was moved like the woods, like the winds moved the woods. And Isaiah came to him in the word of the Lord and said, the Lord said, ask, don't let your heart fear. Ask for a sign. And he said, I will not tempt. There is a time to know the signs of God. And God was saying to him, will you also weary me, O house of David? Like everyone else is wearing me. When God is giving a sign, he expects us to know. I myself, I will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive the sign of the kingdom. It's new life. A virgin shall conceive and shall give birth to a son and will call his name the presence of God with us. And butter and honey shall he eat. But before he shall be able to say and to bring forth explanation for his desires and his cravings, before a name will manifest, shakings will occur in the earth. And kingdoms will be removed and be judged. The sign of the kingdom is life. Not theologies. Life. Not even explanations. Life. Except the man is born an infusion of new life, he cannot have revelation. God knows what he's doing. If he gives you gifts, he knows the measure of it. There are measures for everything. If you have a gift, you can see, but you may not know what you are seeing. You may even have measures of interpretation. And your interpretation could be on an extinct measure that God has gone beyond for this season. The birthing of life takes union. We are not designed to see in this season without union with God. Thank God the apostle is teaching us to plug the holes of distance between our eye view and God's eye view. Our strength and God's strength. Because in this season, you cannot see, not with your gift. You cannot see, not with your utterance. You cannot see the kingdom, not with your prophecy. There must be union to produce life moving in you. Before you can see. Except a man is born, there's an infusion of life. He cannot see. The way of God is in the hurricane. The hurricane comes with a lot of destruction. It looks haphazard, but its structure, its pattern is right in the middle. The only place of calm when the hurricane is around is right in the center of the hurricane itself. The way of God is in the hurricane. But I will instruct thee and I will teach thee in the way that thou shouldest go. And I will guide thee with my eye. So when God comes, there's a storm. There's the latter rain and thunders and lightnings. And the seals are broken, but there is calm. In his eye, in his perspective, in his position, where there is shortened, reduced, and remove distance between where you see and where he is seeing from. I didn't say it was easy. But there is huge power in hurricanes. Huge. Huge power. We have mistaken the kingdom of God with the kingdoms of men. It is not structured like that. When it comes, it has its own structure right inside its own womb. When you get into that womb, you see the structure. But all around, everything else is going to be shaking. But right in the middle, there's going to be calm. The way of God is in the hurricane. But I will instruct thee, and I will teach thee in the way that thou shouldest go, and I will guide thee with mine eye. And so Gabriel stood in front of Zechariah and said, there is an infusion of new life. And Zechariah said, what sign? And Gabriel said, what do you mean by what? Behold, the Lord shall give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive. There shall be new life. And you are still asking for the sign. And so Gabriel shut his utterance until he learns to speak according to the new life that was being birthed. His name is not Zachariah Jr. He's not to be interpreted from your perspective. It is new life, creating, birthing, and shaping as it is coming along. Definitely there are changes in the heavenlies. And when changes occur in the heavenlies, we feel shakings, but new life in our spirit. Because the shakings in the heavenlies may not manifest in flesh and blood, because that is man's gate. But the only way they will appear in the earth is the turmoils, the stirrings in the realm of man, and the new life that we begin to feel. How many of you can feel shakings? How many of you can feel new life? It is the movement in the heavenlies. It is kingdom advance. It is the ability to see. It is the revelation of the kingdom. It is changes. It is switches. It is alterations going on. It is the birth. It is the creation of God. The creative kingdom is expressing himself. They give birth. I sense we should pray. Let's lift our right hands and pray. I will instruct thee and I will teach thee in the way that thou shouldest go, and I will guide thee with mine eye. There is new life. New life. Movement in the womb. There is birthing going on. Ability to see is being created with new life. Entrance comes by new life. The shaping of the earth according to the heaven is by the release of life. Movement of new life. By pulsating energy coming from the womb. The Spirit of God has spoken and it has created, it has birthed life. The way of the wind is revealed. The kingdom emerges as life is coming forth.
me. There cannot be sight without life. We are attempting to see without the flow of life. Attempting to define and to name names and to give shape without the infusion of life. The name or the characteristics of a being is in its DNA. New life comes with its own structure encoded in it, its own name designed with it. And so when we have a new season and a new time, what we use is experience and gift. There's nothing wrong with gift, mind you, if it is tuned to life. Gift is fine, but tuned to the flow of life. And so we are naming things names that are not in their design. God's design is not in building structures, engineering structures. It's in life structure. It's in DNA. And that's why when the fullness of time came to reveal his kingdom, God sent forth what? The flow of life, his son. What is a son? It is the birth, what you give birth to. The fullness of life in expression. The fullness of man in his stature. That is who the son is. The brightness of his glory. The express image of his person. The only begotten of the Father. So when the kingdom comes, he gave his life. He produced new life. And then we could see the structure of the kingdom. We could see the shape of the kingdom. We could see the movement of the kingdom. We could see decrees in the heavenly realms playing out in the earthly realms. We could see the shakings in the heavenly realms walking on the streets in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria. Because the kingdom is seen with the release of life. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. We beheld his glory and we received of him life unto life, grace unto grace. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so that new life in its full manifestation, revealing the kingdom, is what you call the Son. What did God say in the beginning? When the kingdom was going to come back and remove and overthrow the kingdom of darkness and the mystery of the enemy, what did he say? He said there will be life, a flow of life. Because there will be a seed that will come out of the woman. And the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. And the serpent will bruise. So it is the revealing of the kingdom of light to destroy the kingdom of darkness. It was by the expunge, the releasing, the coming forth, the birthing forth of life. What is a seed? Is a package for life. A seed is a unit packet that you use to contain life. And whatsoever is what? Born of God overcomes. You see, the kingdom, its power, its influence, its victory, its surpassing nature is in the life
What did he say? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. What did Leviticus say? He says the life of the flesh is in the blood. We are attempting to see and interpret without the flow of life. We are attempting to give name apart from the baby that is kicking in the womb. We are attempting to name a name according to where we are coming from, not according to what God is creating now, which we have not seen before. And so prophetic utterance, the end product of where prophetic utterance ends, is in the release and the full manifestation of the life. Because the prophet sought to look into it, but they could not see. Great wise men and righteous men, they desired, but they could not tell, because the life is hidden. The life of the flesh is in the blood. It is the womb that hides the life. We can't name things like before. We are not going to overcome religion by attempting to give definitions. We must go with the flow of life. God is determined not to be kept in a box. And so once we finish understanding him, he gives birth again. A new life comes, and fresh kingdom revelation comes, and we rise up in an ability we did not have before. We rise up in a power we did not have before. We rise up in a victory that is not our own, but in something else that supersedes the order and the world from which we are coming from. Except a man is born, he cannot see. The miracle working power is in the flow. It's not in understandings alone. It is in the flow of life. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. The flesh profited nothing. It is the spirit that giveth life. The body without the spirit is dead. In the day of God, like we have heard, in the day of God, the only place to be is in the life that is being produced. In the flow of life. In this season, prophetic ministries and prophetic streams have come to a head. Because at the revelation of the kingdom is the revealing, the creating of the life of God. And the emergence of that life growing to its fullness is what you call the manifestation of the sons of God. And so the day of the Son will not be read by parables in the night alone. It has to be understood by life that has been emitted and imparted, that is now living and now growing and is now ebbing. It's throbbing and it's ebbing. My time is up. Let's stand to our feet. And so we can go into the kingdom with the flow, with the burst of life, or we can stay in a routine and expect God to be named and defined and understood there. There is no more life, no more sight given without life flowing. Life producing light. In him was the life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The day of diviners and omen seekers and riddle interpreters is finished. Because this thing can only be seen under the burst of life. Lift your hands to the God of heaven.
Reality, we have been able to receive grace upon grace. I'd like us to ask for grace. Grace to set feet where the wise men in times of old walked. Grace to walk in the tightrope corners of cheap places in Christ Jesus. Grace to stand where our father Paul stood. And he beheld the universe of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Please be seated for the next 5 minutes, if you can. Now, you see, I deliberately didn't want us to take too much time tonight. The Lord is determined. There is a new language we need to learn, my friend. Mutterings. Mutterings that cannot be altered. Coming from the womb of the Holy Ghost himself. He said, thou will show us the path of life. Because you don't know it. You need to be shown. And it happens to be that a path is a way where only one man can walk per time. That's the problem. It's for one man, it's for one man. That's the problem with the path. If it's a highway with coal, you can walk shoulder to shoulder with your friend. But thou will show me the path of life. He said it, and he has set the coordinates for our journey. That every life form comes with its DNA, its structure. And so you don't need to teach a dog how to bark. It's programmed into his life form. We are going to crack the jokes of our father and speak the riddles of principalities as we navigate to understand and to envisage the structure of this way. Hallelujah. For instance, the Bible says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That means, as part and parcel of the Zoe, is an unction of knowledge. This unction of knowledge taps into knowledge that you cannot learn, and knowledge that cannot be taught. It is knowledge that is captured within the life form. And only by the life of God can you discern the operations of God. Eternal life is qualitative. It's everlasting life that is quantitative. The life has a unique quality. Just like Adam operating with human life that has its roots in the human soul was a self-centered and self-seeking being. That was why it was that plane and that plateau that the devil met him. In the day that Jesus came, he was empty of self and full of God. If you are not careful, the prayer Jesus prayed in John 17, you will not understand. Because it is a betting of life. A principality is concocting, is moving, vibrating. Something is kicking inside of him and is uttering it. There is a knowledge that you will never learn, my friend. You cannot learn it. You must be it. So the fix is to be clear to identify a fake, because he will have duplicates, and there's no duplicate form of life. I welcome you into a new world and a new day. The day of God. By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, by the spirit of wisdom and revelation, God will take us to islands we have never known. Places that were hitherto barricaded in the realms, but are made accessible in Christ by the Spirit of God in this season.
From that point, the proclamation of this season will come. And the building technology of this day and time will be furnished. Why sit we still? Until we die, the leper said, it's time to journey. That which is of the past can only hold death. But if we will see the hope of life, it will be beyond where we have always been.